Well, thank you for joining us today for our podcast, Conversations with Industry Icons. We appreciate your listening and hope that you'll have really important lessons to learn from Kelly Smith, who is our person today of emphasis. Kelly is the incoming president or chair of the board of directors for the National Association of Gift Planners. And Kelly is a remarkable professional. And we're really thrilled to have her on today. Kelly, thank you for joining us.
Oh, Eddie, it's a pleasure to be here with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure, just to say the least. Kelly is so incredibly insightful, and you don't have to be around her very long before you'll notice that she's not only a gifted professional, she's a really good person. And so, Kelly, we appreciate you taking time for us today, and I have two simple questions for you. The answers may be harder than the question, but looking back in your young career, what lessons have you learned that's really made a difference?
You know, that's a loaded question, because there's so many things that I can point to along the way. But I think there are three things that stand out to me. And the first one is, you know, to be fearless. The second one is to make sure that you have solid relationships. And then the third one is to be fully present. So I'll take a little time and dive into each of those if you'll indulge me for a moment.
Sure, love to.
So, you know, in terms of being fearless, you know, I spent a lot of time second-guessing myself earlier in my career, you know, allowing the pursuit of the perfect to get in the way of the good, so to speak. And I really wanted to make sure that I got everything right. And what I realized that I was lacking was, you know, really mentors, people to pave the way for me and, you know, help me kind of figure things out as I was learning my way. And much of this time was, you know, solitary. I was left as a newbie to kind of, you know, figure things out on my own, throw things against the wall and see what stuck. Sometimes I flourished and sometimes I failed, but I had to learn to trust myself. And I did that by revisiting my successes and use those as a reference point. So being fearless means just embracing those moments and opportunities and, you know, kind of casting doubt aside and doing it anyway. So in spite of the fear, in spite of the doubt, just continuing to move forward. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the second one I'll dive into is relationships. I have always enjoyed helping people, which is the beauty of the work that we do, and learning their stories. So, you know, how they grew up, what's important to them, what keeps them up at night, what are they known for, and what would they like to be known for, you know, generations from now. So I grew up surrounded by grandparents, and I had the gift of great-grandparents being there with me and wise souls who inspired me with their stories. Wow. Their lived lessons, yeah, both hard-won and hard, really did a lot in the way of shaping and molding the way that I think and approach things. My family, related and unrelated, taught me to be taught me powerful lessons about needing others. They shared invaluable lessons about respect, connections, education, understanding, and nurturing your gifts, which, you know, I carry forward today and try to share with others. They believed in me, and they, you know, and I cherish them. I thought they were the best people in the world. I had imaginations of writing books about these great griots who kept me rooted in what's most important. And hopefully I convey some of that to the families and people I serve. Relationships are critical to our existence, as you know. Spending yep. time with people, yes, listening and taking a genuine interest in them is what makes the difference. So those relationships are really the glue that hold all of this together. And then, you know, the third thing that probably has made the biggest difference in my career has been, you know, when my schedule was crazy and I'm pulled in 100 different directions, which I know you can relate to, I have to remind myself to be fully present when I'm with others, you know, and choose to engage instead of, you know, result to emails and succumbing to phone calls and texts. None of us should be so important. I try to remember that I owe whoever I'm spending time with my full attention. And that yes. once this time is gone, right, it's gone forever.
Yep.
Yeah. And I know that can sound a little bit dramatic, but yeah, I just wanted to share this last final point about this. I received the, you know, this wonderful 360 degree evaluations. And one of the responses I got was from a donor, and the donor gave me probably the most flattering comment of my career. He shared that when I meet with Kelly, she makes me feel like I am the only person in the room.
Wow.
And the reason that was so powerful to me is because we had a longstanding president of the organization, and he's since passed. And that was his special thing. He had a way of making people feel like they were the only person in the room when he was speaking to them.
Wow, man, that's so important. It's three great points you're making, Kelly. You know, it's hard to be fearless when you're fearful.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I appreciate all of us experience that. All of us have gone through periods of our career, and I'm sure still today, there are times when we take pause and we're anxious. Well, let me ask you the naughty question. So what is the biggest mistake you've made professionally, and what did you learn from it?
Whew. Oh, Eddie, there are so many. I am a fan of failing forward. I didn't know I was a fan until it kept happening. And then I realized, oh, okay, this is part. This is ebb and flow, right? This is part of the journey. It's a vicious cycle. And until you get comfortable doing uncomfortable things, you are never going to be successful. And I think once I was able to grasp that, things got a little better. But, you know, I would say probably my, you know, biggest kind of hurdle that I had to overcome was imposter syndrome. You know, you know, when we talk about being fearless, well, first you have to figure out, don't doubt yourself, you know, and when you are feeling doubtful or fearful, you just do it. So I'm a list checker, you know, and I tend to think that I need to do A through Y before getting to Z, no shortcuts.
Mm-hmm.
I talked myself out of pursuing a lot of opportunities with that mindset. I often felt like I did not have what I needed to be successful in certain roles. And I would watch someone else come in who had less experience, less skill, but a lot more gumption, and apply, get hired, and think, wow, I should have went for it. And gosh, that is just the most grueling feeling, that not only did you feel like you failed at something, but you didn't even give yourself the opportunity to pursue it. So you don't even know if you could do it or not. And I would say that was one of the biggest challenges. And I was thinking about this, where did I get this from? How did that come to be? Because that is not the way I started my career. I felt like when I came out of college, I was like, I can do anything. I can do everything. This is going to be great. And then I get out there and you're like, okay, well, I thought I could do everything, but everybody else is saying maybe I can't do everything that I think I can do. I was just sharing, I shared earlier about, you know, this great family, you know, foundation I had, and, you know, I had all of this enthusiasm and people who believed in me and really, you know, really empowered me to go out and do great things. Well, I got into the workplace, and the workplace doesn't always look like your family.
No,
and often they don't always ascribe to the same values or, you know, have the same goals. So, you know, my early work environments really favored competition, transactional metrics and goals, and lots of pressure. You know, and that often fostered a culture of it was kind of just ruthless and just unpolite. So it can make, I think, kind of reaching for your goal feel a little bit intimidating. So from that, I felt a little bit ill-prepared to go after those things that I knew in my heart I could do. I started to doubt myself and started to feel like, okay, well, maybe I can't do what I'm trying to set out to do. And after a while, that kind of gets into you. So when you think of imposter syndrome, you start to feel like, well, maybe I'm a fraud. You know, maybe I can't do exactly what it is that I felt like I had prepared to do before I got here, and I'm not fully able to implement or orchestrate. But I will tell you what happened. Once I started, I think, encircling myself with the right people, I started to seek out organizations that I could align my personal values with their mission and their culture, and seeking those places out for, like, okay, these are the types of organizations I want to work for. And I know who I am. I know what I have to offer. I know my self-worth. So what is it that I need to do to take the next step forward? And so when I talked earlier about relationships, this is where that linkage comes in. Find yourself a fantastic mentor or sponsor. I mean, I feel like, Eddie, I've had conversations with you, and you have definitely been a person that I felt like, hey, this is a person I can come to, and I can pick their brain a little bit, and they can redirect me when I'm thinking one way, and they're like, hey, let me show you another way to look at it. The other thing that a sponsor, preferably over a mentor, can do for you is they can open doors, they can introduce you, and they can advocate on your behalf in a way that they're really invested in your career. And I would say for anyone that is coming up, that is something I wish I'd done much earlier in my career. And it is so worthwhile.
Oh, that is so true, because all of us have felt like imposters or frauds at some point in time in our career. And often by the time you figure it out, you're nearing retirement. That's a scary word for a lot of us. But, you know, I admire Kelly. Kelly is incredibly bright.
Thank you.
She is really special. I tell you, the day that you were voted in as chair-elect and now incoming or current chair of our board for a national association was a good day. And aww, you'll hear a lot from Kelly. I hope you'll have some time with her. She is a special, special professional. And Kelly, we admire you.
Oh, thank you.
I appreciate you taking time today to join us on this podcast. Do you mind giving your email in case someone has a follow-up question? Do you mind doing
sure.
that?
Oh, sure. No, not at all. So my email is ksmith@jbzoo.org.
You know, and I forgot, by the way, Kelly, to tell them where you work today.
So I am the Chief Development and Engagement Officer for John Ball Zoo in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yeah. Well, really great, Kelly, place to work. You're the best. Thank you for your time. We're looking forward to your leadership for our national board. I'm sure you'll help us progress and move forward to a new heights. And we wish you the very best. And thank you for taking time today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And same thing right back at you, Eddie. I really appreciate the work that you're out there doing. Love serving on the board with you, and can't wait to see what we're going to be able to accomplish next year. So this is my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It'll be great. Well, this has been Kelly Smith, who is the chair of the board of directors for the National Association of Gift Planners, a great professional. We thank you for joining us today in this podcast for conversations with industry icons. We've obviously done that today. We wish you the very best. We look forward to our next time together. Have a great day. Go be successful.